determine quorum, please?
Frank Bledsoe.
Here.
Carolyn Burr.
Here.
Larry Cleaver. Corey Hua.
Here.
Steve Kramer.
Here.
Ernie Garcia.
Here.
George Huber.
Yes.
Max Smith. Virgil Valdez. Mike Sullivan.
Here.
Mike King. Suzanne Sellers.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have quorum.
Thank you. Before we go into the agenda, a quick note on safety. If we have an emergency and have to exit, we've got the two staircases. We'll muster in the far parking lot if we have to exit for any emergency. If anybody brings documents up for us to review, watch the wires, please hand them to the end and pass them around. Now we'll go on to review and approval of agenda items. Everybody had a chance to review the agenda? Any changes? Second?
Second.
Moved and seconded, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, same sign? Agenda is approved. Did everybody get a chance to read the minutes from the last, from the February 15th meeting? Somebody always finds a correction, come on. Ernest, no corrections today? All right.
Move to accept them as written.
Second.
Moved and seconded, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, same sign? Minutes pass. We'll move on to report of the executive director by Dick Wolf, who's not here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is myself, and I'm sitting in for Dick Wolf, who has elected to go visit his grandchildren for the first time in quite a while. So he sends his apologies, but says his grandchildren are taking precedence this week. Relatively short report compared to last month. In the Republican Basin, Colorado filed its application for approval of the augmentation plan with the Colorado Compliance Pipeline. That was filed with the RRCA in April. We had a meeting the first week of May, and not surprisingly, Kansas voted no. We also, at the same time, submitted an application to amend the accounting for Bonnie Reservoir to take into account the fact that Bonnie is now an empty reservoir. Kansas voted no on that. That afternoon, we submitted notice of fast-track arbitration. We have tentatively agreed to use the same arbiter we had in the last round. It works well for us because our application addressed the issues that the arbiter found we were inconsistent on in the first round of arbitration on the CCP. So we think we've answered all of her questions. She has tentatively agreed to take on the arbitration, and we'll be finalizing a contract with her in the next few weeks to move forward with our hearing schedule and briefing schedules. Nebraska had filed for applications in March, an application in March to approve their Rock Creek pipeline. It's very similar to the Colorado compliance pipeline. We had a meeting in early April, and surprisingly, Kansas voted no once again. That was also submitted for fast-track arbitration by Nebraska. The Nebraska had previously submitted at the annual meeting in October for approval of a water short year application. It was voted down again. We have decided to combine those two with a different arbiter this time, and we're looking at Jeff Faraday as the arbiter, and we're putting together a contract with him for that. So we'll be running essentially four applications through two arbiters in the next 6 months. The Kansas v. Nebraska lawsuit is still rattling on. We had a long trial back in August. Kansas raised a couple of issues about groundwater mound modeling in eastern Nebraska. The special master gave them a little bit of time to put together a special expert report. We have just received that yesterday, and are taking a look at that. We'll be responding to that very soon. I think we have less than a month in which to write our expert report on that, on HET expert report. Still scheduled tentatively for a trial in August or a hearing in August to have the two experts on the stand and hash out their differences. In the South Platte, the measuring rules were approved by the court. That brings about 8,000 wells under a similar kind of calibration standard across that basin. We had lots of metering requirements pursuant to court decrees, but this brings everybody under the same umbrella, very similar to the way we're doing it in the Arkansas, in the Rio Grande, and in the Republican Basin. So just trying to get us everybody on the same kind of platform with regard to frequency of calibration, those kind of things. And check my last notes here. In the Rio Grande, Texas a few months ago filed for cert with the Supreme Court to sue New Mexico, basically for groundwater depletions occurring in the Elephant Butte Project area. Stop me if anybody from the Republican think this sounds familiar. It's exactly how the Republican Basin lawsuit started. All three states have briefed the Supreme Court on the request. We're hoping the Supreme Court turns it down. You probably think it's a futile hope, but we're hoping. Right now, the Supreme Court has asked the Solicitor General to weigh in on the issue, which is normal for that court, and they'll make a decision whether to accept the case or not. Also in the Rio Grande, the 2013 annual replacement plan for Subdistrict 1 was approved. On April 30th, the appeal period for that approval expired a couple of days ago, and we have received no appeals. So for the first time, we're going to move forward in the Rio Grande without a lawsuit, it seems like, in trying to get a subdistrict putting depletions back into the river. And Dick asked me to note for the commission's consideration that we have three commissioners up for replacement or reappointment, and that would be Mr. Hua, Mr. Makita, and Mr. Bledsoe. And just wanted to remind people that there's a process for doing that through the governor's office. And that, Mr. Chairman, ends my report.
Thank you. Any questions for Mike? All right.
Get away, Scott Free.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Next item is commissioner's reports. Any of the commissioners have any reports for us? No? Okay. We'll move past commissioners' reports into the first hearing. Do we need to change tapes or something? Okay.
Do we need to
change tapes again? We're good. All right. We'll move on to agenda item number 8, staff report by Keith Vanderhorst.
Hello again. Just kind of go through some highlights on the written report that was already submitted to your commissioners. 80 small capacity applications received and 89 issued in the last quarter. 47 large capacity applications received, 66 approved out the door. 10 large capacity well permits were canceled, and most of that's due to the final permitting process. Change applications, 21 change of water right applications were received, 6 of them were issued. On page 2, gives a summary of the final permitting activities. The bottom table is probably of most interest. The top table shows that we've actually published the last two groups, one group in the Cayo Biju Basin and another group in the Upper Black Squirrel Creek Basin. Of the permits that are not published, that are still pending, we have about 57 permits that are in the Bedrock Denver Basin aquifers that we were just holding on to. We're waiting for Senate Bill 72 to become effective on August 31. Which would mean that those Denver Basin conditional permits do not have to be issued final permits. They would just become, so to speak, final permits as they are. Those would then be moved out of this process and wouldn't have to see them anymore. In the other conditional permits that are waiting really exist in the Southern High Plains, Upper Crow Creek, and Camp Creek basins. Those are basins that are still open for appropriation. We've been issuing conditional permits there. They're still in the process of drilling those wells, putting them to beneficial use. Give them 3 years to do that type of stuff before we act on those permits, either cancel them for non-use or issue a final permit. Page 3 gives a summary of the hearings that we're working on. There was one new case that came in this past quarter. That was the Kenneth Kendall case, 13GW2. It involved a objection to a cancellation. We canceled a conditional permit. The well owner objected. That's before the hearing officer. It looks like that's going to be resolved. Enforcement actions. Plains Groundwater Management District has a couple of letters out to well owners asking for inquiries on possible illegal use that we're waiting for a response to. On a couple of, Fred Ebert has a domestic well being used for commercial uses. He's applying, submitting an application to correct that situation. Town of Vana was one of these situations in the Northern High Plains over pumping. We're trying to work with the town in keeping a water supply to them and yet maintain, get them into compliance with the orders in their pumping. We're trying to analyze their water use. The town's trying to analyze their water use, reduce their water use through restriction of irrigation. They've also ramped up use on their backup well, so hopefully we'll be able to get through this year with those situations. And in the Northern Kiowa Bijou Basin, we're continuing to work with Magna Feed Yards on their illegal use of irrigation wells to supply the feedlot. They have submitted applications to change the use on those irrigation wells, and we are analyzing those applications and those wells along with the management district. Are there any questions? That's correct, yes. For irrigation wells, they're changing the use. Irrigation wells have been historically also supplying the feedlot in violation of their permits, so they are submitting have submitted applications to change the use of those irrigation wells to include the feedlot use. We're doing historical use analysis. Thank you.
Thank you. Move on to Attorney General report by Jen Meehl.
Good morning. I'll just update you on a couple cases that we have, Gallegos and Meridian. In Gallegos, this is the case to the petition to de-designate a portion of the Upper Quoque Creek designated basin. Groundwater Commission rejected that petition. That was appealed. It's now in district court. Currently, the parties are hashing out this idea of the doctrine of waiver that came up during the hearing before you, and that is whether or not the petition is barred by the doctrine of waiver because the predecessors in interest to the Gallegos water right actually participated in the hearing to designate the basin. So some of the objectors are arguing because the owners of these water rights actually wanted to designate the basin, they now can't say they want it de-designated. So it'll be interesting to see how that's resolved. And that's where that's at. Pat Kowaleski actually represents the commission in district court. But that's my understanding about where we are on that one. The other sort of major case we have is the Meridian case. This is the case that involved an application in district court for surface water rights by the Meridian Service Metropolitan District. That matter was then kind of kicked over to the Groundwater Commission because some of the objectors were arguing, all of the objectors argued that it wasn't actually surface water rights that were the subject of the application but designated groundwater. So there was a hearing in front of the hearing officer, and he just handed down his decision a couple weeks ago, holding in favor of the objectors, deciding that this water that was the subject of the application is, in fact, designated groundwater. I think there's still a little time remaining on the appeal, and so it remains to be seen yet whether Meridian will appeal the decision of the hearing officer. Any questions on either of those cases or anything else in my report? Thank you.
We'll move on to district reports. Marks Butte, Frenchman, Sand Hills, and Central Yuma by Nate Midcup.
Good morning, Commission. Thank you for letting us speak again today. My name is Nate Midcap. I represent the Marks Butte, Frenchman, Sand Hills, and Central Yuma Groundwater District. Behalf of Central Yuma Groundwater District, we do appreciate the denial of that variance request today. It's been either winter or summer in our districts over there. We either have snow and it's 17 degrees, or we have no moisture and it's 85. We did finish our static water level measurements at the end of February. We've started chemigation inspections, and we continue to diligently watch the state of Kansas drag its feet with regards to the compact compliance pipeline and the accounting procedures, and it is interesting to say the least, and we applaud Dick Wolf and Mr. Sullivan their efforts to try to get us to a resolution, the Republican River compact. So with that, if you have any questions, I feel free to answer them. Thank you.
Jack Dell.
Jack was unable to be here today, and so I'm filling in for him. My name is Denny Salvador, and I'm representing the WI Groundwater District. Like Nate, our weather has been hot and cold, and mostly cold, and things are pretty late. But I do have a couple of issues that we have been working on. One of the issues that's come up is the desire for an irrigator to perfect his irrigated acres on his final permit by changing description and adding pivots. And our board has made a decision about that. And we were wanting your direction as to whether you'll support that decision, or and maybe the possibility of us coming up with a district rule for that. We would really like to have the districts be able to adopt their own rules for their own situations, realizing the variance in that northeast or northern High Plains Basin. So our desire is to hold the irrigator to his actual historic use. Because it's not an expanded acres, it doesn't fall under those criteria. But to protect the stakeholders in the area, and to for just conservation purposes, that's our desire. So that's one of the issues. The other issue that we've been talking about a lot is after last summer and the all of the wells that were overpumped because they had low allocations, we feel there's a real need for a banking plan so that those farmers can manage their water. They don't want any more water. They didn't want to overpump. But there needs to be a some plan so that they can manage their water. And those are the two issues that we're dealing with. Are there any questions?
Are there other districts that have any kind of a banking plan that you know of?
Pardon me?
Are there other districts that have a water banking plan?
not to my knowledge. One of, you know, I guess because of prior appropriation or whatever, overpumping an annual allotment will get you a letter of being out of compliance. So I know of no other banking plan in this area.
So I guess my question is, what are you trying to do to investigate how you would set up a bank?
Right, exactly. We need some help is what we need. Because there are a lot of ideas about conserving water and, you know, getting away from the use it or lose it mentality. And it's kind of interesting. I haven't actually done this, but I think if a person were to do it, if a person would have had a banking plan the two previous years, there's a real likelihood a lot of the wells would have never overpumped. So it's actually a way to kind of help the process so we don't have to go through all these legal things. I mean, maybe not legal things, but so that's where we're coming from, is from a conservation standpoint. Is there another question?
Going back to that first comment as far as perfecting the water right, would you give me an example of what you were talking about?
Well, there are permits out there that are final permits that have 160 acres. They're issued, that's the final permit, with 400 acre feet of water. And historically, those wells have been pivots. Just a 130-acre pivot. And with the rising price of grain, and especially the inflated price of land, it really is quite an incentive for someone to change description and add on 30 acres. Or what would prevent someone from commingling two wells and adding 60 acres? And we're fine with the acre thing. We're not in the land use thing. We're in the water management. And so we desire to hold that person to his 10-year historic use so that his neighbors wouldn't be damaged and it wouldn't be any more depletions to the aquifer. And even with compact compliance, we don't want to expand usage. That's, you know, that doesn't really make sense.
So okay. you're talking about irrigating the corners of that 160 acre parcel. You would be irrigating. They want to expand to irrigate the corners of the circle pivot.
Actually, there is equipment that you can use to irrigate corners, and it's actually more efficient to go ahead and get a change of description and have a separate pivot, because corner systems are pretty inefficient and they're expensive. I'm not sure cost wise they may be as expensive as, you know, acquiring, or if you have land that you could buy or have already own and move over to a different quarter, that actually is probably more efficient than using a corner system. But we're dealing because of a change of description. That's advertised in the paper. That invites public comment. And so that's what we're doing. We commented. We had people that were very concerned about it. And we feel like that we need to address the situation so that we don't have to handle these case by case by case. You know, and so that's where we're coming from.
Thank you. with Senator Pivens because of the undulation in the land and stuff.
And now they want to go back to getting the full 160.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they, because their permit says that they can irrigate 160 acres. Their final permit. And so, I'm not sure.
Aren't you really arguing that they've landed part of their right by not using it for a long time?
You could, or you could say that they were conserving. They didn't irrigate it because, you know. So is that, pardon me?
So are you drawing up rules, or what are you doing to?
Well, we want, we would like to look into some kind of a rule for our local district and see if we, because I'm afraid, maybe too much information, but there are several large teachers' unions that own a good deal of property, absentee owners, and they're, most of that is owned in blocks so that they could commingle. They could do some things and that would allow them under, unless, you know, actually, we just feel like that it's a conservation thing. We don't want to see, we really don't want to take acres away because that actually could be an opportunity for someone, but we don't want to see any more water pumped. And I, you know, I hate this, and what the point you made is a valid point, but it's hard to farm if you don't have land to farm, to be honest. And so we don't want to take that opportunity away. We don't want to take the opportunity of someone increasing his assets because that's his, he has to run a business. So that's where we're coming from. And we just would like your direction on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Rickery, Rod Mason. Oh, sorry. Keith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I can just say a couple of things about those two proposals that the district had. One on the change of acres. To implement that kind of thing, I actually think the commission would have to change their rules. When we evaluate a change of description of acres, we evaluate that based on the commission's own designated groundwater rules. And that rule doesn't provide for doing a 10-year historic use analysis. So if that is something the districts want and the commission wants to provide for or change into, I see that as a need for the commission to change their own rules on that. The other item was the banking provision. Again, I don't know that the district's changing a rule by themselves is going to allow for this banking. Right now, final permits are issued for a maximum annual appropriation, and that is because the statute itself requires final permits to have, quote, a maximum annual volume of appropriation in acre feet per year. So if a banking, you know, if everybody wants to proceed down this banking road, I think statute is actually going to have to be changed to allow for something other than a maximum annual. Because right now, you exceed the maximum annual, that's what initiated the orders in the Northern High Plains. To allow for something more than a maximum annual is going to mean, I think, in my opinion, a change of statute that then allows some sort of banking provision. Thanks.
Thanks, Keith. Mr. Shimon?
Mr. Chairman, Mike Shimon, I just want to quickly clarify that I've been working with the WY district a little bit on both of these issues. I've done a draft of a banking rule that is some ideas that we were talked through in a work session. I personally don't think the statute would have to be amended. I've had one phone conversation with Chris Grimes about the need to have some dialogue with the staff. I've advised the district the next step in this process is to for us to meet with staff and talk through some of these ideas and see if they can be done. So we're working on this. I think there is a way to do it. On the change of description of acres, I've advised the district that, yes, Rule 7.4.1 currently allows changes without looking at historic use. And the question is, does that rule need to be amended somehow, or what kind of amendment would need to accommodate the district wanting something different in the WI district? So we're working on that. I think it's a process thing for a bit to meet with staff and talk through these issues. So I think I just wanted the commission to know that we're working on it. I think there are pathways to get these things done. We just have to go at it right. So.
Aren't there already some banking rules in place in the Lost Creek District with respect to exported water and consumptive use?
I'm not familiar enough with the Lost Creek District's rules, but I think they may be in the context of a changed water right, sort of like the three-year modified banking that's in the commission rules. Right now, that's the only situation I know of where banking is already provided for, is after a change in the water right, and you re-quantify the water right based on historic use and then limit future use to that volume. The question here is whether without doing a change in type of use, you could have some sort of a banking program to just allow the water right to be used, you know, on some basis that allows water to be put in the bank in 1 year and then used in a different year. And so we're working on ideas. I think it can be done. Just a question of how you get there. So we'll work on it some more with the staff and probably be back to talk to you again in the future. Thank you.
Ready to move on? Rod Mason.
Good morning. I'm Rod Mason, manager of the Rickery District. Moisture has been much better this year. We've had some significant snowfall, some rain, not a lot of rain, but we've had some really good snowfall this winter. The pastures are greening up better this year than I've ever seen. I made a comment to a local rancher. I said, boy, I've never seen the pastures green up so good. And he said, well, that's because there wasn't any grass to go through. Which kind of shows how bad last year was. We're seeing the wheat crop, the winter wheat crop, had a lot of problems this year. We've seen a lot of winter kill, and now a lot of the wheat that is good has come down with mites, so the spray pilots have been busy. The Rickery District has reported at the last meeting, and their December meeting, they passed a rule that they were going to take over all third-party administration within our district, third-party meter reading, and that has been going fairly well. We've had some opposition from some of the well owners, but for the most part, it's been fairly well received. It's kind of a hard process because this has never been done before, and just well owners don't like to have a change put upon them. One thing that we would like to ask of commission is maybe how the commission or the staff could support our district rule with that, with the landowners that are in opposition of our district ruling. Any questions? Or
go ahead.
Currently, the district rule does not allow for any other third parties within our district to do meter reads other than the district. What we would like is for the commissioner or the staff to only allow the Rickery District to be the third party meter readers within our district.
So does that require a change of our rules, or have you looked at that?
As far as the overpumping, that's kind of a different entity this year, but there is a rule in place. Dave Toffit could probably go in deeper depth on that. That there's a rule in place that allows that all contracts for third-party administration within the district have to be approved by our district, and that's something we'd like to have imposed.
Are your rates for your services in line with surrounding districts?
We did a comparison of the rates. We're higher than some and lower than some. We kind of took a middle road, so we are comparable. And we also put in our contracts that our rate will, that's one of the concerns of well owners within the district, that are, that if we were mandating that they have to use this, that we could charge any rate that we wanted to. But in our contracts, we put in there that rate will not change more than 25% without public hearing. So we're not just going to change the rate without hearing from our well owners. And this affects our board too. At least about half of our board have third-party leads. So, and they're all well owners, so they don't want it to go drastically, our rates to increase drastically either.
Any other questions or comments?
Thank you.
Thank you. Southern High Plains, Max isn't here. Did I skip you, Brian? I did, sorry.
I'm here.
Maybe you should be up here running this.
Yeah.
Plains and East Cheyenne.
Brian Ferguson, Plains and East Cheyenne, Groundwater District. Since our last meeting, we've had some decent moisture, about 6.4 inches in the Plains District. And 2.6 in Cheyenne County, which is not as much, but it's great for down there. They need every bit of help down there they can get, too. As everywhere else, we've had enough moisture here recently that a little delay in the corn planting and spraying. Most everybody's, I think, getting pretty close to finishing up with planting corn. We did have some freeze loss and also some mites and cutworm problems. And there are some guys that are going to have to go back in and plant some Milo now, but things are looking up. You know, every little bit of moisture helps. Finished static measurements, kind of reported on that last time, getting ready to go on chemigation and verifying flow meters, so just staying busy. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Now on to Southern High Plains. Max isn't here. Northern Kiowa Bijou.
Robert Luce, Kiowa Bijou. Our district also is in better shape this year than last year. We've had some snow, not much rain, but snow. The snowfalls hit the guys that was calving lake pretty hard. There's a lot of up to 10% calf loss in some of them blizzards that had the cattle out on pastures. We had 31 hours of 50-mile-an-hour winds that kind of took their toll. The basin is moving forward. We have some issues like Keith mentioned with Magnum Feedlot and a few others. And with that said, without going into particulars, I'd like to thank Keith and the staff, Chris and Rick over there for all their help and due diligence. They've helped us through that. What that details in a short synopsis is they were using irrigation wells year-round for an expanded feedlot. And the feedlot is currently at 23,000 head, and they want to go to 30. And they harvest that water 365 days a year and then put in a large storage tank and still try to irrigate with it also. And so it's quite a expanded use. But thanks to the staff and all of us, we're getting through it. That's all I have.
Any questions for Robert? Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry, I didn't see you.
That well's not metered, or if there's no requirement for it to be monitored?
The wells were metered, but nobody was reading the meters, and the district wasn't diligent enough to go check on the meters, and the cattle had rubbed off all the meters, and they were non-functional.
Upper Black Squirrel, Dave Doran.
Good morning, Tim Hunker with Upper Black Squirrel. Nice to see the moisture that we've had in the last month and a half, which really started greening up the fields and the crops a little bit. Really not much for us to report on outside of we're working with the El Paso County and several other areas on our groundwater contamination, getting ready to start drilling some monitoring holes. We already have quite a few wells identified for the test, and then we're going to drill about 15 more test holes that we need to have for the test. That's really about all we have going on right now.
Thank you.
Good morning, David Tosig for the Upper Big Sandy. We also have seen some snow and rain that has improved the soil moisture in our area. I think the cold has been as striking as anything, so it's really a strange year, but I guess that's what we get with climate change. We are looking into doing, trying to get a grant from the Arkansas Basin Roundtable to study the interaction between the Denver formations and the alluvial system. As the Big Sandy Creek flows out of Calhoun, it crosses the outcrops of all four of those Denver Basin formations, so there's a lot of contact in that area, and we've always wondered whether or not we're recharging those aquifers, or are they recharging our alluvium? And so I think one way to think about this is to try to figure out a methodology, almost, to try to figure out what that interaction is. So we may be moving forward with that, but I think it will be a benefit to other areas statewide, wherever those Denver formations outcrop, trying to figure out what is that connection. The last thing is there's been some past emails that we've been a part of from Andy Jones dealing with a water quality change, and it's still kind of at that staff level. We got some recently that I think, in my personal view, that Andy is going through some lot of legal gymnastics to try to come up with a rule. I think there probably needs to be some more discussion on that. I don't know if Keith has had a chance to look at the latest proposal, but I don't think it's there. The problem that I see is the Department of Health really is in charge of regulating water quality, and so Andy's kind of trying to suggest that the commission can do this as a implementing agency, which is not the state engineer as an implementing agency, but then he is almost trying to make the districts be an implementing agency. Concern for us is we just don't have any expertise in this area, and that, you know, if we are becoming an implementing agency for water quality, then that's way beyond what we would be able to do. So anyway, just probably more discussion on that. So it's not to your level yet, but I think that's where they were trying to head for a rule change eventually, so it may ultimately come before you. That's all I have, unless there's questions. Thank you.
Allison Scott, on behalf of Lost Creek District, I work with Andy Jones' office. Unfortunately, my first presentation, of course, my iPad over there is not going to give me the document I want to look at, so I'm going to work off my phone. Hopefully that won't create any complications. I'll start with the small capacity well rule. The district did just amend their small capacity well rule. It has been published now and is available on the commission's website. With respect to the comments just made on behalf of Upper Big Sandy, the large capacity well rule, there's a large capacity well rule change to the district's rules as well being proposed, and that's been published, and we have a hearing set for June 27th. Copies have already been provided to the Colorado Groundwater Commission as of May 7th and forwarded to individuals within the district that have requested those specifically as well. Going to the rule change to the commission rules, Rule 5.6.1 concerning replacement plans and specifically the provision therein concerning water quality. There is a Regulation 41 the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment implements and enforces. That regulation provides, and the statute authorizing that regulation provides for implementing agencies. Andy Jones has presented memos to the commission stating and supporting the fact that the commission is a implementing agency, and the rule that we're seeking is not necessarily making individual districts against their will implementing agencies. To the extent that a district would like to be an implementing agency, the rule is the amendment to the rule is crafted to allow the district to act in that manner. And I think the most important point there is that the districts wouldn't be forced to be implementing agencies. If they don't feel up to speed on the water quality issues and they want to leave that to the commission, that would be an acceptable approach. As far as the on-the-ground facts out in the district, I'll leave that to Tom to report on next time, although I did see a great rainstorm on my way home the other day over the district. Any questions while I'm here? Yes, Mr. Valdez. The commission's funding and staffing or the district's? We have a rule presently in the Lost Creek District, Rule 10, which limits recharge into the aquifer and requires application to the district. And it's our hope that through that rule we'll also be able to implement the quality aspect for replacement plans. And I don't think there would be any additional costs over what they presently have. Regulation 41, which is what districts would be allowed to enforce and be an implementing agency for if they voluntarily selected to under the amendment to the commission rules, what it provides for is that you do some baseline water quality testing in an area where someone's going to be recharging, find out what the quality is, and then you apply the standards set forth in Regulation 41 for various constituent particles in the water. And from there, you can establish points of compliance, and it would be, hoping it would be the district as opposed to the commission when a district acts to take on that authority, that would establish the points of compliance. And so once recharge starts occurring, you continue to measure water quality at these points of compliance. So to that extent, establishing points of compliance, yes, there might be some additional costs, but I don't think that they'll be significant. Any other questions? Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Scott Tietmeyer representing Upper Crow Creek. Well, month of May, we're 17 days into it, and we've had 1.78 inches of moisture. Our average precipitation in this time period would be 1.16. Year-to-date precipitation is 6.48 inches, average is 5.29. The average year evapotranspiration month-to-date is 2.49 inches. The 10-year average is 1.98. Most of our soil profiles are about 50% capacity in our irrigated areas, and we're already experiencing 80-degree temperatures in the first few weeks of the year. Okay, I need to kind of put a disclaimer here because some of the statistics I've just given you, farmers can't agree, so this is an average. It's not any farm in particular. We're still a long ways from recovering from the drought, but April and May has been a wetter than normal spring, and it's helped to get our crops up, but it's still going to take a lot of additional irrigation water. Irrigation has started in our area about 2 weeks ago, alfalfa hay and wheat, and now we are starting to water up the corn. 1st of May, wet, heavy snows produced runoff in the drainage in the areas north of us along Crow Creek, and also the storm drainage system of Cheyenne has allowed Crow Creek to actually resume its normal floodwaters in the spring. As of that lasted for about 3 days. Now we have found that Crow Creek is pulling back to its normal, as the Wyoming engineers like to call it, the return to flow of the Crow Creek. Water industry is, the oil industry is still pretty much about the same as Dan Lloyd reported last. I guess that's all I have. Are there any questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Republic River, Deb Daniel.
Good afternoon. Deb Daniel, General Manager of the Republican River Water Conservation District. And I think I'm about the last person that's keeping you from having your lunch, so I'll try and keep this as brief as possible. Thank you for this opportunity for all of us to talk to you about what's going on out in the state. I appreciate Mike's comments about the special meeting that the RRCA had recently, and I just want to share with you some of the notes that I took during that meeting. Dick Wolf did a great job, we all felt, in representing Colorado during this special meeting. And when he called for a vote on the compact compliance pipeline proposal, I just want to read to you what my notes have from Brian Dunnigan. He is the equal to Dick Wolf in Nebraska. And his comments were, Colorado's resolution for the compact compliance pipeline is above and beyond what should be required by the RRCA. The RRCA is the Republican River Compact Administration. So that's the three states. It is unfortunate that it has taken this long for a decision to be made. What he is referencing there is, of course, the Colorado had already done a proposal. We had to go through arbitration on it, and we come back around. This is our second proposal, and he says it's very unfortunate that it's taken this long, and they, of course, voted in favor. And as Mike has already reported to you, Kansas voted in opposition. When Dick Wolf asked Kansas, can you share with us a reason for being in opposition? Because as Mike pointed out, Colorado has gone to a lot of work to answer all the questions that were brought up by Martha Pagel, our arbitrator from the first proposal. And the reply that he received from Mr. Barfield was that they were going to need some more time to do more of the calculations and needed to evaluate calculations included in the modeling of the pipeline proposal. So Dick pushed a little bit longer. So how much longer are you going to need? You know, we need to be moving on with this, and we're hoping that David Barfield will hold to his comments that he was hoping that he would be able to get some specific questions to Dick and get some answers back to Colorado in the month of May. Dick Wolf then requested that the attorneys memorialize that Kansas has made a commitment to work forward. Whether that will be helpful or not, at least he's doing what he can to try and get Kansas to give us an answer. So we appreciate that. Then the second item that came up before the RRCA was the Bonnie Reservoir Resolution. Again, I'd like to share with you what Brian Dunnigan stated. Nebraska feels that this is a straightforward resolution with real-world conditions which have been made before the RRCA for several years. Again, Nebraska voted in favor. Once again, Kansas voted in opposition. When asked for their reasoning for that, he stated that they were a little concerned about how this was going to be affecting Colorado and Northeast Kansas. And Dick Wolf's reply was, I'm not quite certain how that's got anything to do with the resolution for Bonnie Reservoir. So we appreciate what Dick has done and his staff. I know that you guys have worked a lot of hours, and we very much appreciate it. We very much appreciate your trying to encourage Kansas to give us some answers in a time frame rather than just extending it and extending it and extending it as they have done in the past. also encouraged to hear that Martha Pagel has been initially selected as our arbitrator because that should help speed up the process where she's very familiar with the case. So it's a little bit surprising to me that Kansas is willing to go along with that, but hopefully we can go ahead and get a contract with her and get moving on this. Some of the other things that the Republican River Water Conservation District has been working on is a conservation survey. I think we talked about that a little bit briefly last time. We've evaluated all of those. We first surveyed all the groundwater districts and the county commissioners in the basin, and then we went to the public. We put it in our website so anyone could fill it out. We also sent it specifically to all large capacity and commercial well owners, and we received all of that back. We've evaluated it. Now the Conservation Committee is looking at what actions that they would suggest to the board. We'll be meeting and having discussions about that. Another thing that we're doing is also meeting with the NRCS and the FSA and looking at maybe if there was some funding that we could coordinate with them on some of the projects that could possibly help to start some conservation measures in our basin. So with that, I will conclude unless you have any questions.
One comment that I neglected to mention it. Kansas has met with us or conference called with us already regarding the trying to get more specifics of their concerns, and we're scheduled for another meeting with them on Monday. So they're continuing to work with us to try and resolve at least the minor issues and get them out of the way. And if we can't solve the major ones, then those will be will limit our arbitration needs. So they are working with us to that extent.
Well, that's encouraging, because has Kansas ever come to Colorado asking questions, or has it always been Colorado going to Kansas saying, can you give us an idea of what you're looking for?
As you know, Dick is pushing them to continue to talk rather than, and in some respects, to limit the arbitration down to important matters rather than getting mired down in minor details that we can resolve without too much trouble.
And that's good to hear. That's encouraging. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any old business? New business, including the location of the August meeting.
The commission, as you're aware, Commissioner Wolf has said that we can go out of town again for the meeting if you so desire. I have to place in your packets a list of possible places and activities that we could do in those locations for most of them. There is, in the Greeley area, the High Sierra Water Treatment Plant where they treat fracking water, which you're all going to be familiar with or concerned about, and they treat that drinking water standard. And we can also tour the Cherokee Metropolitan District Wastewater Treatment Plant, which we were involved in regarding the recharge ponds and Blackwell Creek Basin and their use there. And then the division here from Pueblo, Steve Wade, proposed springs, the Bubble Dam or the Colorado Springs facilities. And he actually provided a copy of his PowerPoint presentation for the Colorado Springs Mountain Creek watershed. And then, of course, it's always awesome if you have any place that you want to go or item you want to see.
Do anyone have an opinion? Nobody? Suggestions, ideas?
Mr. Smith, or Commissioner Smith, did identify that he would be interested in seeing the southern delivery system for Colorado Springs down above the reservoir. And he's been involved in that for the Arkansas Valley.
Yeah, sound good? Yeah, sounds good to me. Pueblo, what's that date?
That
will be on August 15th with the
meeting on August 16th. Is that Colorado
Springs or Pueblo?
Pueblo.
Ought to be nice and cool.
I'll make sure the hotel is cool.
Any other new business? All right, move on. Any public comments? I don't think we need an executive session. Entertain a motion to adjourn. All in favor? Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Meeting's adjourned.